advance another book in the Bible, familiar to you, but great lessons from this book, a book of comfort. Father, we thank you that we can look for Christ in the book of Job. And we pray that as we tackle the book and as we look into certain aspects and the message of the book, that, oh God, you will speak to us and show us the beauty and the comfort of being a Christian, even in times so rough like this book explained. Bless us as we look together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this evening, we go into our number 14 books of the Bible, as we started way back 14 or 15 Sundays back. And the title that I give to Christ in the book of Job is The Healer of Our Soul. And if you want ever a book to comfort your heart and to lift you up, just give a reading to the entire book, and you will get great lessons from the book and great comfort from the book. Now we do have in view the introduction, as always we do, and I have to give you the series progression, all right? And we go one by one until we arrive to the book of Job, Genesis. And you remember in Genesis that Christ was the seed of the woman. Then in the book of Exodus, Christ was the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, we measure on the high priest. On the book of Numbers, the brazen serpent. All right? And by the way, as I say that, there is a snake going around here, very large. We saw it yesterday. And moving the head, and it's just a gopher snakes. And so be careful with your children. The snake is around here. But reminds me of this, the brazen serpent. Deuteronomy is the prophet. Remember, hear me. He said, you will hear another man. He said, you hear me. Now in the book of Joshua, he was the savior of our soul. He conquered the city without even a fight. In the book of Judges, the judge and lawgiver, as the book of James projected. In the book of Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. Remember, he was the man that can, he said, I cannot redeem. There is another. The law was first, and then Christ. The law cannot redeem you, but Christ can redeem you. First and Second Samuel, we took from Samuel that he intercede all the time, a picture of the intercessor. First and Second Kings and Chronicles, the reigning king of God. And then we look in the book of Ezra, the building of the wall, and that was the wall of the city. And then the book of Nehemiah, the book of Ezra, we saw the faithful scribe, because Ezra was the scribe, and Nehemiah was the building of the wall that protected Israel. In the book of Esther, we saw a man there that was Mordecai, and Jesus is even greater than Mordecai. Now, tonight, we'll look in the book of Job, one book before the book of Psalm, and I entitled that The Healer of Our Soul. And this will give you the entire introduction. Now, for our discussion tonight is the book of Job and its relationship to Jesus Christ. That's our focus. And that's how we're going to look to the book in the study. How can we take a picture of Christ out of this book? Now, in the studies and the general information, you know all the details. If you want, we review in the book of Luke in chapter 24 again. These are very important verses that you can look on it. When Jesus talked to two disciples that were coming down from Emmaus, all discouraged because Jesus died. Then the Bible tells us that Jesus said in verse 27 of Luke 24, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The scriptures relate to Jesus. Then later on, he leaves those disciples, he walks into the house, and here are the 12 disciples, or the 11 disciples. And in verse 44, he talks to them and he said unto them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I yet was with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets. All the books of the Bible are the books of the prophet, and in the book of Psalms concerning me. And the classic scripture, I know that I have John 5:39 talking to the Pharisees, but let's jump all the way to the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, you have in verse 7 the favorite scripture where the Bible says, then said I, lo, I come, and Jesus comes, in the volume of the book is written of me. And the entire Bible, we can say that the Bible is a volume compressed of 66 small volumes. And in each volume, it is written about the Lord Jesus. And the key is to have the understanding that the New Testament is in the Old contained, and the Old Testament is in the New explained. You don't explain the New Testament with the Old, you explain the Old with the New. And then you're going to arrive to sound and mighty conclusions. All right, now, we go into the specific informations today on the book of Job. So it will be good for you to open your Bible on the book of Job there. And I'm going to present to you seven pictures on the book of Job. Seven pictures on the life of this man and the history of the life of this man. They will give you a panorama of what's happened to him. Now, Job, the first picture I bring to you, and that is before he was tested, he was a very a faithful father, and he was a prayerful father also, unspoiled by prosperity. I want to read verses 1 to 5, and though I say in the outline verse 5, I want to read these five verses so that you see the value on this man. He was a prosperous man, but he was unspoiled. That's very rare. Unspoiled by prosperity. There was a man, said Job 1:1, in the land of Uz, whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He departed from evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. We're talking about the Tulilo family here with 8. They had 2 more to go. All right. And number 3, verse 3, his substance also was 7,000 sheep. And that marvelous wool production. And 3,000 camels, that was his truck company. And 500 yoke oxen, that was his tractor company. And 500 she asses, and a very great household. In other words, great large employees, a number of employees. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. Now the word greatest, if you we'll look in the original, when a concordance, we refer to everything graded in his character, greater in his income and substance. And so it seems to me that he was a Rockefeller of his generation. Verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses. So he has houses for the sons to make parties. Everyone his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. It seems to me that verse 4 refers to their birthday, and they make great parties. Look at verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting was gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offering according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and curse God in their heart. does the job continually. To burn offering, according to the book of Leviticus, is to pray for the salvation of someone. The burnt offering was the first offering that you burn outside the temple, and that will give you access into the temple. And I think this man was really concerned for the salvation of his son. Now, picture number two. And picture number two will be from verse 9 in chapter 1 all the way to chapter 2 and verse 10. And Job is tested by circumstances. So we have Job chapter 1, verse 9, all the way to chapter 2 and verse 10. So I want to read it because you will see that this man, so holy, so wonderful, a dedicated man, a man of prayer, he was tested by circumstances. Verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for naught?" Verse 10. "Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land." Now, here is a great exhibition of the blessings of God. He made a hedge around you. Isn't it fantastic? You send your children, like some of you will do, to college. And I was concerned. But this verse was a great help to me. God makes a hedge around. And that's the only way we are protected, brother and sister. You can have all kinds of thinking and how to protect yourself, but we need a greater than ourselves, and God is able to protect us. All right? So, verse 10, Satan is making a statement of what God has done with him. Verse 11, "But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, there is everything we have has no value. What is valuable to God is you. Everything we possess, our house, our cars, have no value. But you are valuable. You. You know, right? We are valuable. And so God said, you can do anything with he has. But there is one thing that is mine. It's Job himself. And you cannot touch it. What a relief. And I use this verse for people who come to talk to me about suicide and so on. And I said, now look, everything can go wrong on you. But there is one thing that God would never allow to be taken from you. And it's you. God wants you. All right. We take it verse 13. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans," these are the Saudi Arabians, "fell upon them and took them away. Here they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped along to tell thee." While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The fire of God is fallen upon from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and it smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. You think he will curse God, no? And worship. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And look at the commentary of God in verse 22. In all of these, Job seen not, nor charge God foolishly. You're talking about a believer, you know? It makes you tremble, something like that. You're talking about a believer? Here you got it. So Job is is tested by the circumstances. And this is nothing. Look at chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them and to present himself before the Lord. And he took him a posture to scrape himself. Here, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man, an upright man, one that feared God and eschew evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yeah, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So he went, Satan, forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took, verse 8, him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Look at the answer, verse 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of these did not Job really sin with his lips. So now we see that this friend, picture number two, is all the circumstances were wrong. Members of the personal family were taken, but the man held to his own. You never know the motive why God does something in your life. I personally still do not understand why God is removing me from family radio. But I came to the conclusion that it's good for me to surrender to God's will and taking a stand in what I believe. And I still don't understand, but I have to do it because God forced me to do it. You don't understand the details, but you understand it's time to do something. And here's Job. He's a great example. Picture number three, please, verses 11 to 31. And Job is tested the second time, and now he's tested by human counsel. I read a few verses for you. Chapter 2 is starting in verse 11. He's tested by mankind counsel. Look at verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. To mourn with him means to sympathize with him. As a poor fellow, he must be really bad. Look at verse 12 and verse 13. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent everyone his mantle, and sprinkled dust upon their head toward the heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none speak a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. You know, sometimes it's no time to talk, and they were just beside the man, no saying absolutely anything. That verse 31 is verse 13 on the outlines. I put verse 31, but this is verse 13 over there. So you see here in the third picture that now come the test. Now remember what we read. God said, do you see, Satan, what you have done? That I let this happen without cause. Remember those words. God said, all of these things happen without cause. So he's not guilty. But these friends will make Job's life miserable. So picture number four. It goes all the way to chapter 37. So in chapter 32, let me show you, from this chapter 3 until chapter 32, I tell you, one friend speak and the next friend speak, and everybody makes you guilty, like they were God and they knew what happened in your life. And everybody makes you guilty of something, and Job defend himself, sometimes with great pride, he speak. But in chapter 32, it said, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eye. And so they gave up on Job because Job was defending himself left and right. And if you read those chapters, you learn great things about God from their friends and from God. These friends were saying mighty things that could happen to an individual when he disobeyed God. But doesn't apply to Job because God said all the things that happen without cause. But these friends who do not know what God is doing, they see what happened and they made their own conclusion. Their conclusions were right. If you sin, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get disciplined and so on. But don't apply to everybody. We don't know if a person is under discipline or a person is suffering for a testimony of God. We don't know. And so only the person knows. In this case, Job even didn't know what happened. And so God provides a mighty man, a small preacher by the name Elihu. Elihu means instead of God. That's El means God, who, in place of. So Elihu. And I want you to go to chapter 37 of Job in verse 14, because I want you to see in picture number four a great preacher that comes along. And in one verse, he counseled Job. And look at what he says in verse 14. He said, hearken unto these, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous work of God. Now, what was the preacher counsel? This is what the preacher said. Job, in time of affliction, consider the works of God. It's heavy. But it's beautiful. In times of affliction, consider the words of God. These last 6 months, I have been in a terrible crisis. And what healed my heart was that I sit down, and then I just outline, in about 2-3 hours, outline the marvelous work of God that he has done with my life and the work of radio. And I was satisfied. Taken out of this, he said, hearken unto this. He said, stand still. I mean, don't make any move. Be firm. Second verb, consider. Consider what? What God does. Don't consider what other people do to you. Consider what God has done with you. That's great. That's fantastic. And so we have in picture number four a man, a great preacher who preached instead of God, and he preaches just as God will preach. And he said, in time of affliction, just look back in your life and see what God has done
with you.
Now, picture number five, it's chapter 38. And you think the preacher did a good job? Now God is going to talk to Job. And now we're going to learn a few things about his life. So I'm going to move to chapter 38. And I'm going to read as much as I can of this chapter. Because I tell you, God is unfolding himself and unfolding the life of Job before his eyes. Chapter 38, God is talking and confronting Job. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darken counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee an answer thou me." He said, now you're in the hot seat. Where, and God is asking questions to Job, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Now, the reason God do this is because in the defense, and just to refresh your mind, in the defense of Job, he has mentioned the greatest thing he has done in his life. And so God comes to him and says, where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if thou has understanding. Who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who had stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? I was with Raquel, and we love to, when I'm a little down, I just go to Monterey and walk on the beach and so on, and look into the ocean. Who holds the ocean down? You know, the earth is going like this. And who holds the water in? You know, I know the law of gravity and so on, but I tell you, who holds that mass of water in? Fill a glass of water and put it like this, it's going to drop. Who holds it in? You know, and this is what God is saying. Verse 7, when the morning stars sung together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, that's the creation, and the angels are called the morning star. Oh, who shut up the sea with doors when it breaks forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the clouds, the garments thereof, and the thick darkness, a suddenly band for it, and break up for it my decree, place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shall thou come, but no farther, and here shall thy prow waves be stayed. You know what God saying? I control the ocean. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the days of spring to know its place? So you are the one who bring every day up? Wow. Verse 13, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it. It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the hairy arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Hast thou walked in the search of the dead? Verse 17, had the gates of the dead been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the door of the shadow of death? In other words, this is what God is saying. He's really heavy on Job, and he's saying this, Job, I am greater than your circumstances. I'm greater than the people around you. I'm greater than your finances. I'm greater than your family. I'm the greatest. Job, I'm the greatest. Don't try to argue and reason about what happened. Just follow through. I'm the greatest. And if you trust me, there will be great things. So one, it's a hard thing to be confronted by God. When you read the Bible, you're really confronted. Now picture number six. After you get confronted by God, from chapter 40 to chapter 42 comes confession. Let's read verse 6 in chapter 42. Chapter 42 of the book of Job. And let's read verse 6.
Let me see. Chapter 41, chapter 42. I'll start reading in verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Now here's the confession. I have speaking things that I don't understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. In other words, I dwell on philosophy. That's why I don't like philosophy. Because you don't know, just philosophy. See, I dwell in philosophy, and philosophy is nothing. See? Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee, verse 5, by the hearing of the ear. But here's a conversion. But now, here's conversion. But now, my eye has seen thee. Now, here's a good eye, a man. Here's a man who pray. Here's a man who has spent his life in a wonders of fear, but have not yet seen God. I picture people in church sometimes, as I said this morning. Is anybody here that doesn't know the Lord? This is time to know it. It's better not to be ashamed. If you've been in church for 20 years, you don't know the Lord. Don't die in this way. Humble yourself and know the Lord. In this man, in verse 5, said, and then verse 6 is the confession. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He followed the law. He knew the law. He followed the law, Leviticus, and he said, I will do what is right. But now he will do what is right with the knowledge from within, which is entirely different. And so picture number 6 is confession. Confession. People may teach about God, may sing about God, but when you come in an open confession who you are and say, God, I need you. And only God can produce that in you. And when God produces that in you, sometimes God brings circumstances so you can say, God, it's me. Then is when God works. Now picture number 7. I call the picture number 7. After confession, always is restoration. Look at it in chapter 42 and now verse 10. Well, let me read a little. It's so exciting. Let me read just a little verses here and there. Chapter 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee. Now, God is against his psychologist friend and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the things that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. Is that a testing? Now, the people who made Job's life a real misery, now Job had to pray for them. Now, is that a testing of a pastor, I thought? You know, we pastors get crucified left and right. But then sometimes those people who do that, they have a need, and they come to you for help. What are you going to do? I learned. You just bless them. Look at what the Bible says. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Ammonite went and did according to the Lord commanded them. And the Lord also accepted Job. He's a great believer. He had no resentment. And so now comes restoration, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. When Job exhibited real belief, when he prayed for the people that hurt him, God rewarded him. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. That's restoration. That's absolutely restoration. So you have all these pictures. Now, which picture I will take, you think, in all these pictures to bring the Lord and to bring the message? I think you guess already. I'm going to take picture number 4, Elihu, who spoke on behalf of God. And so here is the message. Okay, where is the picture? The picture will be number four. Elihu, who spoke on behalf of God. Elihu spoke on behalf of God. That is Christ. Let's go to two books of the Bible. The Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 18. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 18. Elihu spoke on behalf of God. Who spoke to us on behalf of God? John 1 verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. So Christ is the representative of God, and he is the one who speaks on behalf of God. Now why? Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and start reading in verse 12. And you will see the reason why this is so. Colossians chapter 1, and started in verse 12, as soon as I get to Colossians here, all right? Colossians 1 and verse 12. I'm in 13, 12. Here it is. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now he's going to talk about Jesus. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, Christ. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Look at verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. See, the church is not these walls. The church is the body of Christ, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And so Elihu spoke on behalf of God and make a declaration so perfect. Job, stop worrying and look the wonderful work of God. And Christ came in God's stead and spoke to us the word of the gospel. And when our internal eyes have seen him, then our life changed. And we are able to pray for even those who hurt us and bless them and tell them to repent and to come into the kingdom of God. What a great picture. What a great book. It brings comfort and power in the life of the believer. You are not in control of your life. God is. And if you yield your life to God, he will swivel your life one day here, another day here, but you are in his hand. And if God protected Job, don't worry about what you have or don't have. That's secondary. The key is, am I doing the will of God? And if I'm doing the will of God, I'm in safety hand, because Christ Jesus is the one who is instead of God. And that's the counsel for us. And in spite of all the sufferings, maybe some of you are in the tremendous sufferings of life. But listen, there is a day where the reward is given. There is a day where the peace of God comes into your life and you collect the reward 10 times greater than what the suffering was. So I want to be in that way. I want to be in the hands of God in all circumstances. And more high you are in the service of God, greater is the test. Greater is the test. I never thought I'm going to be tested on 29 years of faithful work. I never thought about it. But God did the test and took me 6 months to understand what he was doing. Never was depressed in the sense of speaking bad of God, but I wonder why God is doing this. And when I saw what God's doing, then I yielded with peace. And when that can mean,
I remember the day about a month ago when Mr. Campion called me to his office and said, you know, you have a great joy. I can see it in your face. What is this peace that you have about it? So I told him, the peace I have is that I'm going to leave the place with a well-done job. And I can leave and step up. And here is, I fill a book like this, and here is how the organization works, and can roll with me away, because I cannot endorse something that I don't believe. And even if nobody worry, I worry, and you expect your pastor to worry, as Russell and I talked today, the greater thing, if we leave, this is how a pastor lives, in a glass house. Everybody sees you. And if I don't take any stand, you will get depressed. And if I don't take any stand, you will get worried. So my brother in Christ, the book of Job is a help in times of trouble. Read it entirely so that you get to know the pictures. Jot down some sentences and look for that Elihu, the preacher of God. And then go to Christ and say, thank you, Christ, that you hold me within the boundaries of your love. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that we have a book like the book of Job, who feed our life in times of stress and in times of trouble. Thank you, Lord, that you show to us that if we are firm and follow you, you reward us. And Father, sometimes we think we know you and we don't. But when you bring crisis, then our eyes can see you, and then we know that we know you. Bless us with the strength. Give us hope for tomorrow and cause us to witness about your power, about your wonderful sovereignty, about our life. And we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory today and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.